What you believe in determines the values you live by. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell helps us develop a biblical worldview that is based on the infallible Word of God.
Jesus is going to stand there, and He's your advocate, and even when you've done wrong, He's going to forgive you. And the fact that He shed His blood speaks to the Father, and it says forgiveness, and He gives hope to the helpless and rest for the weary and forgiveness and mercy and healing and whatever it is you need today, He's got it for you, and He says, come, and I'll give it to you.
There are a lot of faith systems in our world today. The reason for this is because life is a faith proposition. So the question is not whether you live by faith. The question is, what is the object of your faith? Where do you choose to place your faith? Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. When you believe the Bible is entirely true, then you allow it to be the foundation of everything you say and do. In our series, Which Faith?, we will discover how to discern between what is faith and what is fiction. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Self-Realization or Effective Prayer.
Americans are finding more and more that stress is a part of everyday life. Schedules are busier. Families seem to be more complicated. It seems like jobs sometimes are uncertain. And from day to day, it seems that Americans are struggling with how to cope with the increased work, with the increased demands of life. Some are turning to alcohol, others to drugs, and many are turning to what has been described as New Age philosophy and New Age religion. Bookstores are filled with books dealing with self-realization, meditation, yoga. Eastern religion has crept into American society, including in some circles, angel worship and paganism. Now, the reason that many of these books have become so popular is because Americans are finding a cure for their ills, or seeking to find a cure for their ills. They're trying to have help for their infirmities. One author of the book entitled Unmasking the New Age wrote about it this way. He said, "The West's and especially North America's concern with efficiency and immediate results has shaped this new spirituality. Because the modern lifestyle is characterized by quick and easy transitions in our pluralistic culture, commitment to a spiritual path must be streamlined and systematized. Although some may retreat to a Buddhist monastery or join a New Age commune, the New Age spiritual practices and beliefs are often geared specifically for modern life. They say, follow the prescription, meditate twice daily, 20 minutes each time, and see what the results might be." Well, this morning, I want to thank God for His grace, and that by His grace, He has provided the solution for all of us as Christians, and that solution is found in prayer. And I want to thank God that He has made a way for us to approach Him with our infirmities. Now, I know a lot of people misunderstand prayer, and some do what James spoke about, they pray amiss. I heard about a little girl who was praying recently. She said, "Dear God, please send a new baby to my mommy. The one you sent last week cries too much." And sometimes we pray amiss. We don't pray for that which is really important. But it's interesting to me, as I have spent a little time just in some cursory study of some of the New Age philosophies, it's so interesting to see what they are purporting to be true to the American people. And it's so amazing that Americans follow this false teaching. For example, many of their philosophies talk about avatars, which bring you into the presence of oneness with one, or into the presence of the God of the earth. Sometimes they speak about their illumined masters who can help us to find more of a self-consciousness. All of these terms and all of these mediums are nothing more than satanic replacements for the one true mediator, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this morning, we're going to get back to basics for just a minute, back to Christianity 101, back to Bible teaching 101, because I want you to know that prayer is effectual this morning because of who our mediator is. We're not praying through some Eastern avatar or some New Age illumined one. And we're not praying through any human mediator. Notice what the Bible says, if you would, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. Let's just get right to the basics. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Now, very quickly, the New Age teachings teach a type of polytheism. They teach that there are many gods. By the way, one of their gods is Jesus. You try to witness to a New Ager and they'll tell you they believe in Jesus, as do the Mormons, as do the Mohammedans, as do all false religions. They will put Jesus on their God shelf as one of the gods, but they will never profess him to be the Son of God, you see. And so they will say that Jesus is a God. But let's come back to the Bible. For there is one God. One God in three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now, this man Christ Jesus, who was born of the Virgin Mary, was conceived of the Holy Ghost and is referred to in the Scriptures as the God-man, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so God the Father sent God the Son, and God the Son now mediates between God's people and between God himself. And the Bible is very clear that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus. How we thank God this morning that we as Bible-believing Christians have a mediator. We have a way to God, and that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having established that, let's take a few minutes to study it this morning. Notice, first of all, the revelation of our mediator. He is revealed here in this passage this morning. Notice the word in verse 14, seeing. We are having here a revelation, an unveiling of a truth. Revelation, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. God has revealed to his people that he has provided a means by which we can get supernatural help and power for our infirmities. And the revelation is that Jesus Christ is the mediator. Now notice a few things about our mediator. First of all, he is a resurrected mediator. For the Bible declares in this verse, he is passed into the heavens. Now that is significant because the other holy men, so-called, teachers of self-realization who come, and by the way, only in America can a man come over from an Eastern country wearing his bathrobe and what appears to be a diaper-like kind of a clothing, sit down on the side of a mountain and have people come and pay him to talk. Only in America would that happen. Only God rejecting people would find themselves following this. But it happens. But here's the difference. The founders of these religions have a birth date and a death date, and that's it. But our mediator has passed into the heavens and is seated at the right hand of God, the Heavenly Father. Oh, how we ought to thank God for that. The Lord Jesus, after his bodily resurrection, went up into the heavens and is at the right hand of God the Father. He did this literally, physically, bodily. How we thank the Lord for his resurrection. While other religions point to their founder and to his grave, we can point to our founder and to his empty tomb this morning. The Bible says in Hebrews 1 and verse 3, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. "By the which will we are all sanctified through the offering of one body through Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Do you understand this morning that our mediator is none other than the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who at this moment is sitting at the right hand of God the Father to make mediation for you and for me. He is our mediator. One of the popular New Age teachers is a man by the name of Paramahansa Yogananda, and he has self-realization temples around the United States, including one in Malibu. And we'll not delve much into their teachings. That's not what we're here to do. But to give you a comparative, I believe it may be in your notes, this man wrote in one of his books, his self-realization book, Babaji, one of their illumined ones, Babaji is ever in communion with Christ. Together they send out vibrations of redemption and have planned the spiritual technique of salvation for this age. The work of these two fully illumined masters, one with a body, one without a body, is to inspire the nations to forsake wars, race hatreds, religious sectarianism, and the boomerang evils of materialism. Now, doesn't that sound special? And are they not hitting the hot buttons of many people in America today? And are they not bringing all the faiths together behind this common Antichrist platform which is coming, and that is that we might someday have an end and just have one world church and have one world government, and we'll not delve far into that, but you can sense in the New Age philosophy the globalism, and you can sense this tremendous, insidious philosophy that is prevailing. But I want you to focus on one passage or one portion of this. And notice he says, the work of these two fully illumined masters. Now please capture that. The New Age religions take the resurrected Son of God, our Savior, and place him on the same level as an illuminated master, so-called, named Babaji. I've got news for you this morning. Jesus and Babaji are not merely fully illumined masters. I've got news for you this morning. Jesus does not belong on the God shelf of the Eastern religions. Jesus Christ is the creator and sustainer of this world. Roman soldiers put nails through his hands, nails through his feet. His blood flowed down for our sin. And on the third day, he rose up again, where he is seated today at the right hand of God the Heavenly Father. And any movement that places him on the level of some Eastern illumined one or avatar is heresy, and it is from, my friend, the pit of hell this morning. It is satanic. Anything that would replace the person and position of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why, as Baptists, we do not refer to our pastors as priests. For the intimation of that is that through the priest you can have access to God. My friend, how many of you are thankful you don't find God through Paul Chapel? You don't find God through the pastoral staff. You have direct access to God through the high priest, Jesus Christ, you see. Oh, how we must understand the fact today that our mediator is a resurrected mediator, and that sets him apart from all the other false gods of this day. But notice, secondly, he is a restoring mediator. He is a restoring mediator. You see, the Bible teaches concerning this that the Lord Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God the Father today. How we thank the Lord for this truth. And I want you to see the resurrection that he offers for us today. We see it beginning here in verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now I want you to realize that Jesus Christ is a restoring mediator. He is one that is called here our great high priest, mediating between men and God. And he restores, first of all, through salvation. God wants to take anyone that is lost, separated from God, and in their sin. God says, I want to restore you to myself. And how does this salvation take place? Notice in 1 Timothy 2 again, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. By the way, notice that. It does not say he will have some to be saved. My friend, it is the will of God that all men would be saved. The Bible is very clear that it is his will that all men would come to repentance. Someone says, well, doesn't God know that some will be saved and some won't be saved? Of course God knows that. He is God. But it is not his desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is what the scriptures say. Who will have all men sin to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want to tell you something this morning, dear friend. I can't tell you everything about God's will for your life, but I know this today. It is God's will that you would be saved today. I want you to know, my friend, God loves you, and it's His desire that you would not spend eternity in hell, but that all would come to Jesus Christ and be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm thankful I serve a whosoever God. I'm thankful today that if a little bus child in the bus class comes to the Lord Jesus, He will in no wise cast them out. I'm thankful today that Filipinos in the Philippines can come to Jesus, and Chinese in China, and Americans in America. I'm thankful that He's willing to save us. Why? Verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Oh, friend, thank God He restores us through salvation. And if you are fallen in your sin today and you can't get up, there's one that'll pick you up and mend you and heal you and forgive you. And His name is Jesus Christ. Oh, He restores through salvation. But now watch this. He restores through advocacy. Through advocacy. Now let me help you that are saved with something. If someone is not saved, they need to be restored through salvation. But those that are saved, sometimes something comes between us and God. That doesn't mean we're no longer saved, but something comes between us and God. What is that? Sin. And if you're an honest Christian, there have been times when you were not as close to God as you should or could be. All of us would say that. And it's during those times when we need an advocate. It's during those times we need someone mediating for us, someone showing the Father His love for us and reminding the Father of our relationship. And this is what a mediator does. He goes between. Notice, if you will, the Bible says here in 1 John 2:1, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Now please, Christian, understand the will of God. 1 John 2:1, "My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not." Let's read this verse together, shall we? Ready, begin. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye... And if any man sin, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous." Now, every parent here understands this. "Son, I don't want you to sin. I don't want you to do such and so. I want you to obey your mother. I want you to do so. Sin not. This is my will. Sin not." But no father ever says, "Son, I want you to obey your mother. And if you disobey your mother, you're no longer part of this family. You disobey your mother, go have dinner at the Joneses tonight. That's it." Most loving parents wouldn't say that. God says, "Now my will for you is that you sin not. But if you sin, you have an advocate. You have someone you can come to, and He will plead your case. You have someone who loves you and someone who will forgive you." And I want you to understand, church, this morning, that we have someone who is that to us. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He's not one of the illumined ones. And He's not merely an avatar. But He is the very Son of God making intercession for us this morning. A missionary friend of mine was witnessing down in Mexico. He gave a lady a gospel tract. She said, "I don't need this." She said, "I pray to Mary for my problems." He said, "Well, ma'am, let me ask you a question. If you were very sick and you had problems with your stomach and you had the choice of calling the doctor or the doctor's mother, who would you call?" You will find in many faith traditions that Jesus Christ is subtly replaced, or that others are subtly elevated to His level. But my Bible says there is none other name given under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. My Bible says we are to lift Him high and give Him what is called the preeminence, you see. And Jesus Christ is the preeminent mediator, the only Son of God. He and He alone can take your prayers to heaven. And He alone can forgive your sin and mine. Paul Harvey told the story about a 3-year-old boy who went to the grocery store with his mother. Even on the way in, his mother said, "Now, son, don't you ask me for chocolate chip cookies." She knew his weakness. How many of you have a chocolate chip cookie weakness, just while I'm thinking of it? Yes, I see that hand. I won't get you to raise it any other time, but I'm seeing it now, chocolate chip cookies. And many of us have that weakness, don't we? He came in the store. He said, He said, Mommy, please. I mean, he hadn't been in that store just a few minutes. Mommy, please. Can I just have one bag of chocolate? No. Son, I said, no chocolate chip cookies. Well, he did pretty good until the cookie aisle. When he saw those cookies, please, Mommy, can I have some chocolate chip cookies, Mommy? How many of you see this in the store regularly, a conversation like this between a child and a parent? No, you're not having any chocolate chip cookies. Finally, they got to the end of the cookie row. The mother felt relieved. There were several dozen people in the line standing there to get through the register and so forth. And as they stood there, that little child stood up in that cart and he said, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask for chocolate chip cookies. Paul Harvey said, some people laughed, some people applauded, and when the mother left the store, there were 23 different cases of chocolate chip cookies in that basket. Now, he may not have had the right attitude, but his theology was right. He knew who to pray through. He knew who his mediator was. The revelation of our mediator is made very clear, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Hey, you don't need to go to Sedona and sit on the red rocks. You don't need to go to Ojai and sit there with somebody in his bathrobe from India and close your eyes and try to visit grandmother. You don't need somehow to try to get a hold, as they talk in these books, about your oneness of your one, whatever that means, my friend. What you need is to realize you already have a mediator, and his name is Jesus. Us. That's his name, the revelation of our mediator. But notice, secondly, the relationship with our mediator. What kind of a relationship do we have with our mediator as Christians? How does that work? Well, notice what it says in verse 15, please. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I want you to know this about Jesus. He empathizes with our infirmities. The word here, to be touched with the feeling, is an interesting Greek word, sympatheo. It is the root word from which we get the word sympathy. And it tells us Jesus sympathizes with us. He feels with us. Oh, I want you to think about Jesus for a moment. Jesus Christ went one day out into the wilderness as he was led of the Holy Spirit, and for 40 days and 40 nights he was without food. When he came from that time of trying and temptation, the devil came to him and said, if you be the Son of God, cast these stones into bread. On another occasion, Jesus Christ heard of the loss of a friend by the name of Lazarus, and the Bible says Jesus wept. On other occasions, he went through various types of trials and then finally to the old rugged cross where he suffered the pain and agony of the crown of thorns and the Roman nails. I'm simply telling you this morning, I don't know what your infirmity is today, and I don't know what is heavy on your heart today, but we have a mediator who's not just some spirit in the spirit world, but he is the Son of God who came to this world and who physically, literally experienced this world, so that when you pray, he knows. He understands. He sympathizes. A little boy was in church in Kentucky. He was about 5. He had the jitters that morning, and the pastor was preaching way too long. His mother said, shh, shh. Finally, she even pinched him. How many of you have ever had the motherly pinch? She used every technique known to man to try to get him to be quiet. He would not be quiet. Finally, in a rage of desperation, she stood up. She grabbed that boy. She threw him over her shoulder. And she started walking out of that church. And he was hung over her shoulder looking at all the people. And they were all looking at him. And as he was looking at him, he said, y'all pray for me now. That boy needed some sympathy. He needed the comfort of God for his life. God empathizes with our infirmities. But notice, secondly, it's even better than that. He entered into our infirmities. When Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to this earth, He is not just a God who says, I'm going to sit up here in heaven and feel real sorry for you. He is the God who came to us. His incarnation, God became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Bible says in verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In every way, God says his son was tempted, and Christ was tested in every way to show that he was the flawless and the perfect Son of God.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you visit or live in Southern California, we would love for you to be our guest at Lancaster Baptist Church, Sunday mornings at 8:30 or 11 o'clock.
This broadcast is a listener-supported program that exists because of prayers and donations from people just like you. If you make a donation to Daily in the Word, Pastor Chappell would like to send you a copy of his newest book, Paid in Full, as a thank you for your support of our ministry. Thank you for your help in spreading the good news throughout the world.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.